I am so sick of the media dictating the terms of the narrative in this country. I'm so sick of having to be apologetic for who I am. I'm so sick of people in middle America being called a flyover country or slope-headed.
Conservative teabaggers.
It's going to be teabagging day.
It's hard to talk when you're teabagging. Appreciate it very much.
It's so funny because the teabaggers, the one thing they hate is when you call them racist.
If racism is not the whole of the Tea Party, it is in its heart.
The hatred that Timothy McVeigh, that he had. There are plenty of people like that right now.
Lots of them.
I think you get the general tenor of this. It's anti-government, since this is highly promoted by the right-wing conservative network, Fox.
The left pits people against each other. Divide and conquer is the strategy. I don't want to live in that world. It is the exact opposite of E. Pluribus Unum.
Hey, just answer one question, yes or no.
And what the left has stood for with political correctness is to try and get those with whom they disagree to shut up. And the Tea Party movement and Sarah Palin and Michelle Bachmann and Alan West and all the people that have gone out there against the mainstream media and said, you're going to call us racist, you're going to call us potential Timothy McVeighs, fuck you. War.
Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Road Warrior Radio. You're tuned in live this Thursday, November 9, 2023 on the one and only Republic Broadcasting Network. Have you noticed that there are people who speak loudly and emphatically? There seems to be an element of NLP in their cadence, neuro-linguistic programming. For one example, a Barack Obama type. He doesn't necessarily speak loudly, but there are people, you know, in places that you go. I've been to some local establishments in the last few days, for example, where, people speak so loudly indoors. Where I come from, that used to be something that you got in trouble for as a young person. The first warning would be something like, use your indoor voice. Actually, that was later. That's kind of like timeout stuff. The use your indoor voice language was later. You'd get a more stern warning back in the old days, if you know what I mean. But that softened to use your indoor voice. And if you didn't, then things escalated from there. But there are folks who apparently missed the memo growing up, and they just speak so loudly. And there, I think, is something in them, whether they've been trained to do that from a sales perspective or they just sort of emulate something that they've observed along the way. I think it's a bad thing. I think it's evil. You know, they speak so loudly, no one else really can hear themselves talking. Like if people are on the phone, I've seen this recently, an office full of people, one or two people talk. One person in particular speaks so loudly that no one else can be heard when that person is speaking and on the phone. And then there's another person right next to that person. And when the two of them get on the phone, you know, it seems like the one is competing to speak over the other to be heard by the person on the other end of the phone call. And it's very obnoxious. It's very disruptive. It's rude and inconsiderate to others in the room, and very disruptive. But this is where we are in America, apparently. And I just find it fascinating, the things that we do without knowing it. And so I want to dive down a rabbit hole. I talked about a video yesterday, the kind of the esoteric origins of Darwin's theory of evolution, which is really not. I mean, it's pretty obvious that it's eugenics. Right, again, from the title of the book, On the Origin of Species, most people say, you know, have you read Origin of Species? Well, it's On the Origin of Species. And what's the rest? On the Origin of Species by means of natural selection, or, and I always like to add, that's an Oxford comma, or the preservation of favored races in the struggle for life. So if so-called natural selection, and what does that mean? You know, how much do we nudge natural selection along? We talked about Richard Seed toward the end of yesterday's broadcast based on a question from James in Vancouver. My response was Richard Seed, and he was an interesting fellow, you know, a guy who fancied himself a Christian, which I think is astounding. But, you know, physicist who worked on cloning and things of that nature and said it's going to happen, you know, gave the classic, you know, George Soros kind of argument. If I don't do it, someone would. You know, Steve Croft asked George Soros back in that 1998 60 Minutes interview, do you ever lose sleep at night thinking, you know, I sent many of my fellow Hungarian Jews to their death and stole their property in the process, their personal property. And Soros snapped back something to the effect of, no, of course not. You know, a funny thing, you know, about, you know, markets basically were doing the taking, not him. And so he literally said he wasn't the one doing it. He wasn't there doing it. And if he wasn't doing it, someone else would have been. So interesting how that works. Origin of Species. So we'll get to that by means of natural selection, nudging that along, or the preservation of favored races and the struggle for life. So who decides what constitutes favored races? And what does the struggle for life mean? Anyway, the esoteric backstory of the theory of evolution is interesting. But I want to actually start with something I think is very interesting and provocative. I've seen the reposting of reference to Kurt P. Richter's rats, the swimming rats study floating around. And there are lots of things this calls to mind. You know, it's usually a post about, you know, the rats in the experiment, on average, they sink and drown after 15 minutes, but, you know, probably due to exhaustion. And if they are conditioned to believe that they will be saved, then they can last much, much longer. 60 hours of swimming, or 2.5 days, when they would have died minutes after being rescued or plucked out of their little vial. And so, you know, people usually say, you know, hey, this is a reason to be hopeful. Remember what you're capable of. Keep swimming. Never quit. All that kind of stuff. And I wonder how many people have actually looked into the study or read any of Richter's papers. Because I think if you do that, you come away with a different perspective. Not to mention, this stuff floats around on social media. And so the diabolical irony of the experiment is that I think this is just kind of my synopsis. I'll just throw this out there. as a sort of spoiler alert. I think what's happening is that this is being circulated. It's propaganda that's been circulated in behavior modification, social engineering sort of fashion to test and monitor the results of where people are at psychologically. And I think of Michael Kaczynski's work, you know, again, that article, The Data That Turned the World Upside Down, and how Kaczynski, working with Cambridge Analytica, said that he could tell more about a person than they knew about themselves with just a few hundred likes on Facebook, for example. Likes, not posts. Just a few hundred likes. Then, not long after that, along comes Yuval Noah Harari, pursuant to the Fourth Industrial Revolution, and says, congratulations, humans, you're all hackable animals. We just need a little bit of data and some computing horsepower, and we can know you better than you know yourself. By the way, you're probably gay and don't know it, but it's okay. Coca-Cola knows. You might figure out one of these days, like I did, Harari says. You know, I didn't even know I was gay. Well, first of all, it's not gay. Gay historically is happy. That's homosexual that you're referring to. That's sophistry at work. I digress. So I think it's interesting to see this experiment floating around, and it's sort of it's the rat experiment, if I can say this right, in meta sort of fashion. It's the rat experiment being deployed on people on social media to give them that bit of hope and then test and measure. If that makes sense. It's very ironic to see this floating around. And again, if you read what Richter wrote about this, it's fascinating. And so I put together some thoughts, you know, as I was thinking about this, that most people probably fail to recognize or comprehend things that maybe should give us pause. And I will give you my thoughts here in a moment. But first, a couple of things, I guess. announcements. I guess I'm going to do this. I'm just privy to this. So you can see on the Republic Broadcasting website, RBN website, republicbroadcasting.org, there is the message updated Wednesday, November 8th. Schedule changes in December. Schedule changes coming. And it says, it reads, as we remember the second anniversary of John Stadmiller's passing on November 5th, 2021, which, I don't know. That's just still shocking and heartbreaking. We are retiring the National Intel Report, currently 5 to 7 p.m. Central, with special hosts. It's John Stadmiller's National Intel Report. So, with great thanks to all who have taken up that mantle of RBN's flagship broadcast over the last 2 years, and the hope that we'll hear more from those great hosts, co-hosts, and guests in the future. And RBN will be implementing some weekday schedule changes, which are affecting shows between 12 p.m. to 8 p.m. Central Time. Schedule changes beginning Monday, December 4. So, three and a half weeks from now. And so you can read that post and see the schedule changes for yourself. I won't go through them because if you're listening, it's probably just confusing, I think. Maybe not. You know, it would remind me of the the Monty Python, I think it was The Meaning of Life, you know, the classroom scene with hang your coat here kind of thing, you know. No, it's very simple if you just, I don't know, that kind of thing, or who's on first type of a thing. So you can read it. You can read the schedule changes there on that post. Updated Wednesday, November 8th. Schedule changes in December. And then the other announcement, the second annual John Stabmiller book drive. I don't think I've not mentioned this yet this week. So shame on me. 2 years ago today, RBN host, this was posted Sunday, November 5th. 2 years ago today, Sunday, November 5th, that is, RBN lost its great leader, John Stadmiller. His talk radio legacy remains and will continue to echo deep into our dystopian future. With his many decades of in-depth research and inquiry, he has left behind a great bounty of literature. I like to think that John Stadmiller is one of those guys who forgot more than most of us will ever learn. And I feel like I'm starting to crest that mountaintop a little bit and understand how it feels to just be, you know, have so much of a voluminous background and stuff. You know, at some point you just kind of go, yeah, it's one of those books back there somewhere. So the post continues, starting today, November 5th, 2023, RBN will be conducting its second annual John Stadmiller book drive. Please help to keep RBN alive through your participation. And so RBN will be conducting an ongoing book drive starting November 5th to January 8th, 2024. Donations of $100 or more taken from November 5th to January 7th will provide the donor with an opportunity to receive a book previously owned by John Stadmiller. The available book of the week will be posted in the RBN news feed every Monday and announced by various hosts throughout the week. I have been remiss in my duties here, falling down on the job, derelict in my duties. Every Sunday night, there will be a drawing from the list of qualified donors, and the winners will be announced in the second hour of Off the Beaten Path with Steve Elkin, 7 p.m. Central Time. And books will come with an RBN business card and bumper sticker. If you don't win a book, your name will carry over into the next week's drawing. That's pretty cool. So there's that, as they say. And I don't have the book, this week's book, handy. What is this week's book? Oh, yeah, that's right. Where did I see that? I can't remember where I saw that. This week's book is, yeah, where did I see that? By Way of Deception, The Making and Unmasking of a Mossad Officer by Victor Ostrovsky. Didn't we do another copy of that last time? Last year, I think. Not sure. Well, we'll talk more about that when we come back. Stick around. More right after this break.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
So I did the announcements in the first segment, the announcement of the schedule change, the announcement of the book drive, including the book, the week one book for this year's John Stadmiller book drive is By Way of Deception, The Making and Unmaking of a Mossad Officer by Victor Ostrovsky. That post you can find also on republicbroadcasting.org. And a couple of other announcements. People are talking about Dr. Lorraine Day. For example, there's the post, prayers requested. Dr. Lorraine Day is in poor health in and out of consciousness. So just from the post on Thursday, November 2nd, Dr. Lorraine Day suddenly lost consciousness and has been close to her close to death ever since. She has continued in and out of consciousness. She's being well looked after at her home. Please don't call the office for updates, as we're currently a bit overwhelmed. We will publish more information when we have it. Internet orders will continue to be filled as fast as we can. We will temporarily not be taking phone orders. Sincerely, Rockford Press. And last but not least, John Moore fundraiser for RBN, special access to his wedding video. And so the post reads, RBN morning host John Moore would like to offer exclusive access to his wedding day video to anyone who gives a gift of more than $5 to RBN. Simply make a contribution and leave an email where we can send the link. You can send us an email to boardop@republicbroadcasting.org to let us know about your gift. Please put John Moore Wedding in the subject line. And thank you for your support. Indeed, thank you for your support. Thank you for your listenership. You know, I've said this is a different kind of animal here at Republic Broadcasting. And for better or worse, mostly better, I would say it stands out uniquely. There is nothing like RBN anywhere, period. And so I think the people who listen to RBN realize that, and it's why RBN has what some might call a cult following, which is, you know, that sounds negative. I don't mean it that way. Obviously, it's a very loyal audience, and I think people sense that it's something different. And so in that regard, let me just emphasize the point. You know, thank you for your listenership and for your support. Those who support the network, thank you. If you don't currently or have in the past but don't currently or haven't, please consider supporting the network, and however you feel led, I suppose. And as I usually say lately, please pray for one another, because the among other things, the five psychology or psychological experiments that explain the modern world. Remember the Kit Knightley's Off Guardian post? They tell us that there is a, and you know, for that matter, back to Edward Bernays, these points and facts of history tell us that there is a concerted effort to try to coerce and nudge and sand off our edges and make sure that we are all formerly pegs of one variety or another that fit into the uniform round holes that are created for everyone. So, for example, the Milgram experiment, the Stanford Prison experiment, Solomon Asch's conformity experiment, and Festinger and Carl Smith's cognitive dissonance study, which is more than that. This gets into the other stuff. You know, the monkey ladder, Bezmenov's intimation, and more. Stick around. We'll be right back after this short break.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Einstein once said, future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies. What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
Extendivite really works. Just listen to what some people have to say.
Several years ago, I was developing a very severe situation. I called it my flippy heart. It just was doing not good things. And I did not want to go to a medical doctor because I just knew they would give me a cover-up pill. I didn't want to get onto that sort of thing at all. When I learned it was garlic and cayenne, and cayenne is a healer. It is a wonderful herb. I said, I think I'm onto something here. I'll tell you, I wouldn't be without it. It did wonderful things for me.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from Simply Clean Foods, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters.
Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on long-term food storage in the rotating sponsors banners to support RBN.
Simply Clean Foods. Do it today.
Bottom of the first hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast is Thursday, November 9th, 2023. Let me just dive down the rabbit hole on this stuff. You know, there are always psychopaths on the periphery of the folks that we, you know, that are brought into public view. And I mentioned Kurt P. Richter and the swimming rats study, or what some people call the hope study. If you read about it, not so much. A couple of the psychopaths on the periphery were Walter Bradford Cannon and the other one who Richter studied under was none other than the infamous John B. Watson and his Little Albert experiment. For those who aren't familiar with John Brodus Watson, just look up the Little Albert experiment. And this research all sort of coalesces, you know, how can we terrify and terrorize people? This creeps into Martin Seligman's learned helplessness research. Walter Cannon was the guy who coined the term fight or flight response. And so he was known for doing a lot of research on basically terrorizing people and animals to study this concept, you know. And no wonder now, just to sort of skip ahead, you know, 100 years later, the military is running red line on cortisol all the time, and people are still being studied like rats. Although technology gives, you know, the Walter Cannons the ability to study sort of at a distance without being observed or detected, and therefore, you know, their lab results on their rats are a little more I can't think of the term. Not genuine, but their research results are more in the natural domain of the rat being studied, in this case the soldier. How far can we push people? And that's where Richter's study of the rats, you know, the hope study, people call it, that's where that comes in. And so people need to read the paper by Richter, Kurt P. Richter, on the phenomenon of sudden death in animals and man. You start to get a flavor for this. So again, I see these posts circulate, and they usually read something like, during a study at Harvard in 1957, Dr. Kurt Richter placed rats in a pool of water to test how long they could tread water. They sink very quickly, but you know what, if they're rescued and they get the idea that they will continue to be rescued, they can swim for days, 2.5 days, about 60 hours. And so, you know, the posts always say, you know, remember what you're capable of, keep swimming, never quit. And I think this, again, because these happen on social media, oftentimes, you know, they are posted by the blue checks and then recirculated by people we all know on social media. But, you know, it begins with, I would say, an earnest voice, astroturfing, sock puppet type of somewhere in that realm. Maybe not always, but typically it's, you know, who is this person? I don't know. You don't know. But it gets reposted by somebody that we know. And then it circulates from there and people respond or they like it. And so that's interesting. But I think I will give you a little bit about maybe from Richter himself on this. Speaking of Richter and Walter Cannon, I'll just give you a little bit from the paper that I mentioned on the phenomenon of sudden death in animals and man. And this reminds me, you know, I'm not trying to be inappropriate But, you know, it reminds me of the situation with Dr. Lorraine Day or so many other folks in the COVID era. Do you know someone who seemed to succumb to a doctor's prescription? And I've talked about this before, you know, guys like Napoleon Hill. You know, Napoleon Hill wrote about at his speaking engagements when there was an intermission sometimes to do a little experiment, behavioral experiment. He would talk to somebody at the break and say, "Are you feeling okay? Because you don't look so good." And often the person would say, "Nah, I'm fine." They would keep talking. And if he repeated that two or three times, pretty soon they started to demonstrate physical signs of unwellness. And it wasn't uncommon for people to excuse themselves from the conference as a result of that kind of suggestion. And so it's interesting what we do with that. And there's all kinds of background on that. I'll maybe mention some of that, but just interesting, you know, how suggestible are we? How strong is our constitution? And again, the question, this kind of stuff comes right back around to who's in charge, who decides. So from Richter's paper, 1957 paper, on the phenomenon of sudden death in animals and man. I'll give you a little bit from this and then my sort of response to this circulation of the hope experiment, what people call the hope experiment. After hearing this background, I'm pretty sure that most people who have maybe thought of it that way will no longer think of it in those terms. We don't want to believe this stuff, but you know what? This is the real history. And it's funny how, you know, Richter does the same thing that guys like Seligman and they all do, you know, we happened upon this discovery quite by accident. And you know, nobody was trying to terrify or drown or kill people, but we kill rats indiscriminately, lab rats. But we, you know, the way that Richter put it, as so often happens, this phenomenon was discovered accidentally, as it were, during the course of other experiments. Naturally. It's always that. Funny how it's always that. But, you know, the more you dig into the background, the more it evinces a design to reduce them under absolute despotism to, you know, quote the cliche of our own history. So from On the Phenomenon of Sudden Death in Animals and Man by Kurt P. Richter, published back in the journal. I forget what the journal is. Anyway, published in 1957. Voodoo Death. That is the title of a paper published in 1942 by Walter Cannon. It contains many instances of mysterious, sudden, apparently psychogenic death from all parts of the world. A Brazilian Indian condemned and sentenced by a so-called medicine man is helpless against his own emotional response. And, you know, in today's society, you hear these kinds of things and you just can't help think COVID, COVID, COVID. At least that's kind of what I hear shouting in the back of my mind. And the conditioning that we've seen. Okay, so the man is helpless against his own emotional response to this pronouncement and dies within hours. In Africa, a young Negro unknowingly eats the inviolably banned wild hen. On discovery of his crime, quote unquote, he trembles, is overcome by fear, and dies in 24 hours. In New Zealand, a Maori woman eats fruit that she only later learns has come from a tabooed place. Her chief has been profaned. By noon of the next day, she is dead. In Australia, a witch doctor points a bone at a man. Believing that nothing can save him, the man rapidly sinks in spirits and prepares to die. He is saved only at the last moment when the witch doctor is forced to remove the charm. R. Herbert Basedow, in his book, The Australian Aboriginal, wrote in 1925, "The man who discovers that he is being boned by an enemy is indeed a pitiable sight. He stands aghast with his eyes staring at the treacherous pointer and with his hands lifted toward to ward off the lethal medium, which he imagines is pouring into his body. His cheeks blanch, his eyes become glassy, and the expression of his face becomes horribly distorted. He attempts to shriek, but usually the sound chokes in his throat, and all that one might see is froth at his mouth. His body begins to tremble, and his muscles twitch involuntarily. He sways backward and falls to the ground, and after a short time appears to be in a swoon. He finally composes himself, goes to his hut, and there frets to death." Cannon made a thorough search of reports from many primitive societies before he convinced himself of the existence of voodoo deaths. He concluded, "The phenomenon is characteristically noted among Aborigines, among human beings, so primitive, so superstitious, so ignorant that they feel themselves bewildered strangers in a hostile world." This also reminds me, as a parenthetical aside, of Carl Sagan's words, from the demon-haunted world, "Science is a candle in the dark," and how Sagan said that we are retreating into superstition and darkness, as he put it. He said, I have a foreboding of an America when, clutching our crystals and nervously consulting our horoscopes, our critical faculties in decline, unable to distinguish between what feels good and what is true, we slide almost without noticing back into superstition and darkness. And again, I don't know about you, but COVID. Continuing from Richter's paper, "Instead of knowledge, they have fertile and unrestricted imaginations which fill their environment with all manner of evil spirits capable of affecting their lives disastrously." That's the end of the canon excerpt. So Richter continues, "Having after a painstaking search of the literature convinced himself of the reality of this phenomenon, Cannon next addressed himself to the question, how can an ominous and persistent state of fear end the life of man?" Again, you know, who asks these kinds of questions? It reminds me of Bernays in Propaganda Chapter 4, The Psychology of Public Relations, a.k.a. Propaganda. You know, the question naturally arose, if we understand the mechanism and motives of the group mind, is it not possible to control and regiment the masses according to our will without their knowing it? Who asks these kinds of questions? Psychopaths. It's a rhetorical question. Yeah. So to answer this question, Cannon had recourse to his experimental observations on rage and fear in cats. He believed that while rage is associated with the instinct to attack and fear with the instinct to flee. Again, if you're not familiar, Walter Bradford Cannon, the man in view here of whom Richter is speaking is the person responsible for coining the term flight or fight, fight or flight response. And, you know, his work on so-called homeostasis and all these kinds of things are, you know, very interesting in today's society. He believed that while rage is associated with the instinct to attack and fear with the instinct to flee, these two emotions have similar effects on the body. Again, like I said, you know, it's we're on cortisol overload in America today, no surprise. And, you know, you get trained in military and law enforcement circles to basically train under stress. And it normalizes this kind of stuff in ways that are not normal. And but we, you know, again, in those sorts of conformity experiment fashion, you know, Milgram experiment sort of fashion, we don't listen to our own troubled conscience about these things. We listen to the white coat. Well, he says it's okay, and so, you know, I should do this because X, Y, and Z. Thus, when either of these instincts is aroused, the same elemental parts of the nervous system and endocrine apparatus are brought into action. The sympathetic co-adrenal system. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Probably not. There are a few things I might mispronounce. If these powerful emotions prevail and the bodily forces are fully mobilized for action, and if this state of extreme perturbation continues in uncontrolled possession of the organism for any considerable period without the occurrence of action, dire results may ensue. Thus, according to Cannon, death would result as a consequence of the state of shock produced by the continuous outpouring of adrenaline. Voodooed individuals would therefore be expected to breathe very rapidly, have a rapid pulse, and show a hemoconcentration resulting from loss of fluids from the blood to the tissues. The heart would beat faster and faster, gradually leading to a state of constant contraction and ultimately to death in systole. Cannon expressed the hope that anyone having the opportunity to observe an individual in the throes of voodoo influence would make observations on respiratory and pulse rates. This is just creepy to me. Cannon expressed the hope. That's interesting. I want to study the guy while he's dying. would make observations on respiratory and pulse rates, concentration of the blood, etc., to test this theory. So then Richter writes, I bring this up here not because I have had opportunity to examine human victims. I have not. I always think it's funny how, you know, the explainer has to be. This to me sounds like the Streisand effect. And there's probably plausible deniability in view somewhere. I digress. Richter continues, but because I have observed what may be a similar phenomenon in rats, and because our studies may throw light on the underlying mechanisms of sudden unexplained death in man, not only in voodoo cultures. We are still actively at work on the problem, and consequently this communication must be considered simply as a report of work in progress. It's a work in progress. Drowning rats. It's a work in progress. As so often happens, this phenomenon was discovered accidentally, as it were, during the course of other experiments. The first observation was made by Dr. Gordon Kennedy in 1953 while studying the sodium metabolism of rats on very high salt diets to determine the amount of sodium excreted. Three animals were given a certain diet, were kept in metabolism cages over large glass funnels. The urine was collected in a cylinder to prevent contamination, et cetera, et cetera. Skipping ahead, though, he writes, well, let me just continue. I guess it's germane to the point. To prevent contamination of the urine with this salt-rich food, the food cup in each cage was placed at the end of a passageway as far as possible from the neck of the funnel. However, despite our precautions, food was still dragged over the funnel, apparently on the whiskers or hair of the snout. In a further attempt to prevent this contamination, the whiskers and hair were trimmed away with electric clippers. One of the three rats at once began to behave in a very peculiar manner, incessantly pushing its snout into the corners of the cage or into the food cup with a corkscrew motion. Although before the clipping procedure it had seemed entirely normal, 8 hours afterwards it was dead. This observation was recalled a year or two later while we were studying differences in the response to stress of wild and domesticated Norway rats. For these studies, we measured endurance by means of swimming survival times. Using specially designed tanks, glass cylinders 36 inches deep, standing inside glass jars 8 inches in diameter and 30 inches in depth. Figure 1. A jet of water of any desired temperature playing into the center of each cylinder precluded the animals floating, while the collar of the cylinder itself prevented escape. The study was started with observations on our domesticated rats. Figure 2 shows the relationship between swimming time, or drowning parenthetically, and water temperature. The ordinates show average, parenthetically, 7 rats at each point, swimming time in hours, and the abscissus water temperature in degrees Fahrenheit. As can be seen, the average survival times were directly related to the temperature of the water. Thus, the swimming times ranged from 10 to 15 minutes at 63 to 73 degrees Fahrenheit to 60 hours at 95 degrees Fahrenheit to 20 minutes at 105 degrees. And so this begins to, you know, all of that as a sort of backdrop begins to really dispel the romantic charm of the story and the research that brought this information to light, I think. But there's more. And we're almost to the end of the first hour, so let me just, yeah, pause it there and continue. Pretty crazy stuff. And it's, I think, for many people who have not been subjected to ongoing ritual abuse and trauma-based mind control type of stuff, who've not been entirely desensitized, I think this stuff is hard to listen to. If that's you, I apologize. But I'm going to presume that the RBN audience has a stomach for it, and I'll continue at the top of the second hour, coming up here in just a moment. Stick around, we'll be right back.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Paudi Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.